Good evening, folks. My name is Craig, and you are listening to the Modern Preparedness Podcast. On tonight's episode, we will be discussing the basics of planning for preparedness and making sure you're ready. Here's the thing, folks. Most people want to think of planning and preparing as something way more difficult than it really needs to be. Really, when you stop and think about it, everything in preparedness will come down to the 80-20 rule, right? It's going to come down to the fact that 20% of your preps will cover you for 80% of all emergencies. Now, that's obviously not going to be exact numbers. However, it'll be pretty close to that. A lot of the items cross over no matter what it is you're preparing for. So what I want to do this evening is discuss what that looks like for you. You know, there's a lot of people that would say that when you're getting started, you should take a look at what it is that you're wanting to be prepared for. So, for example, for me, here in southern Indiana, a few things that I get kind of worried about, you know, power outages. We're under a flood warning right now, so flooding is always a worry. Tornadoes here in the Midwest happen pretty regularly, happened last week. And with being in the fire service, fires are also something I get pretty worried about. I've seen some pretty good field fires that spread pretty fast. And when that wind picks up with no hills or anything to block it, man, that fire can spread real fast. So those are some things that I get concerned about. Nothing crazy like the end of the world, but it is a concern. I really want to focus today on getting you set up to plan for your initial first 3 days of preparedness. However, 3 days is not going to be enough. I know that's what they used to say was the bare minimum was 3 days, according to FEMA. But when you really stop and think about it, 3 days is not enough. You really should be prepared for a minimum of 2 weeks and start building from there. But when you're first getting started and it seems overwhelming, getting that first 72 hours done is super, super important. The other thing I want you to remember when you're preparing, it is useless if you only half prepare. What do I mean by that? If you get everything you need to have food and you have food put back, but you don't have any preps for anything for water, what good's that food going to do you? So one thing I want to tell you is when you're preparing, do it in stages. So for the first 72 hours, make sure you have everything you need for that first 72 hours. Then you move on. That way you're prepared for at least the bare minimum of 3 days. Don't start trying to build and add on other things without being completely prepared for the last stage that you're working on. So with that being said, I've broken everything down into about 8 different subjects here, or different 8 different categories with some subcategories in there, maybe a few more, and really want to go into that. Now, when I talk about preparedness, I do not strictly mean the sky is falling, solar flares have hit the earth, and EMP is blasted off overhead. That's not at all what I'm discussing here tonight. I'm discussing preparedness for a whole variety of things, whether that be losing your job, whether that be the market crashing and you losing all of the money that you had invested, whether that be a wildfire, a tornado, any number of things it could be, right? That's all part of preparedness. Preparedness is not, and I repeat, preparedness is not all this doom and gloom stuff that some of these TV shows make it out to be. Preparedness is exactly what the word is, being prepared. And when you're prepared, it's not just for these crazy cataclysmic events. They're events that can happen anytime, anywhere, any day. So with that being said, let's take a look at some of the stuff I've got here. Okay. First topic, first thing I want you to consider when you're planning for preparedness. First one, personal health and wellness. personal health and wellness. What do I mean by personal health and wellness? So if you are 400 pounds and something happens to where you have to get out of your house quickly, is that going to be possible? Now, I don't want to say anything negative about being overweight. I get it. I struggle with it myself. I'm not a small guy either. However, I know that I could get myself and my family out of a house in a fire situation. I do not have a concern about that. I know I can do that. You need to be as healthy as you possibly can. So if that's not something that you're working on, definitely make that a priority. I don't want to dive down this rabbit hole too much, but I do want to say it. I do want to say it. With that being said, let's move on to the next one. All right. Next one I've got here, finances. Have your finances prepared. Okay. What do I mean by having your finances prepared? Have some sort of cash reserves. What happens if you lose your job tomorrow? Would you be able to survive for a couple weeks? What about a month? What about 3 months? Okay. So it doesn't have to be a job loss either. So finances could also be ATMs aren't working. Power's down. You can't get cash out. You can't use your cards. What are you going to do? Do you have any cash on hand to be able to make sure you can get the things that you need in those types of situations? So what do I recommend? 1 to 3 months in cash reserves. 1 to 3 months of everything you need to survive in cash at home. Hopefully in a safe. Don't just throw it under your mattress. Be a little smart about it. Once you have that, I would move on to building that to be 6+ months in liquid savings. Now, am I saying I don't think you should invest? Absolutely not. You should invest. I am not a financial guru. However, I think that it is smart to make sure that you have enough cash and liquid assets available in case of an emergency, whether it be job loss or whatever it may be. Okay. There's a lot of benefits to that, right? There are a lot of benefits to that. But you need to make sure your finances and cash reserves are in order. The next important thing that I really think that everyone should focus on, and this is the biggie, okay? Water. We take water for granted. But, okay, here's the thing with water, okay? You want to have 1 gallon per person per day. 1 gallon per person per day. So for 3 days, 72 hours, that is 3 gallons for one person. Okay. If you have a family of four, that's 12 gallons, guys. 12 gallons just for 3 days. Now that includes drinking water and cooking and bathing, all of that, right? But it's not a small amount of water. Okay. It's going to take up some space. But there's lots of cool ways to store it. Whether it be you just buying bottles of water, cases of bottled water. That's one way to do it. I don't recommend doing it that way unless you drink bottled water anyways. But you could do that. You could do gallon jugs from the store. I do have some of those on hand. They sell these water bricks. Okay. If you live in like an apartment or somewhere where you don't have a whole lot of space, these water bricks are great. Okay. They are 3.5 gallon square water containers that are small enough. You can fit under your bed. They're pretty cool. You could do stackable 5 gallon containers or 30 gallon containers. I mean, you really can go as big as you want to with this. That's the cool thing about water. I mean, it's one of those resources that you, if you've got the space for it, you could get a container that's going to hold a lot of water. You could go as far as rainwater collection and collecting water every time it rains. So that way you've got hundreds of gallons put back and ready to go at any point in time. Now, let's say you don't have a whole lot of space and you can only fit a little bit of water in the house somewhere. you could supplement that a little bit with a filtration setup, a way to clean water if you've got a water source close to you, whether it be like a lake or pond or river. Now, those types of places to get water are going to be very risky from a security aspect and contamination. So you got to be very careful with that. And you got to make sure you learn how to properly filter and make sure that water is drinkable. But there's a lot of really good water filters out there that are great. Most everyone knows of the Berkey water systems. They're in some hot water there with the government. So I don't know that I can recommend them in good faith, but it is an option. There's also the Pro One water filters. They make a lot of really cool ones that I've been seeing here lately. Life Straw. Okay. Whether you get the individual Life Straws where you can just drink from the source. They also sell what's called the Life Straw Family or the Life Straw Mission that are a little bit bigger and you can do more water. So that way it's not stuck to just that one little straw. You've also got like the Survivor Filter Pros. Okay. It's a nice little self-contained system with a hand pump where you can pump water through it and filter it that way. Now, I wouldn't recommend that for a mass quantity of water. That would take a really long time and I wouldn't want to sit there and pump it, but it's an option. Also for individuals, you've got like the Grail water filters. Those are a great option. A little more pricey, but super easy to use, very effective. And then you've got like your Sawyer water filters, right? You can go get the Sawyer minis from Walmart. I mean, you can find those pretty much anywhere. So there's a lot of different ways that you could supplement that, right? I would recommend something a little bit bigger just to make it a little easier on yourself. Something you can just dump and let it gravity do the work for you rather than actually having to sit there and hand pump it. But that is an option. Okay. The next group that I want to discuss is food. Okay. How much food do you think you'll need in an emergency type situation when you don't have access to it? So let's talk about that a little bit. Rule of thumb that I've always read in all my research has been about 1500 calories per day per person. Obviously kids aren't going to need necessarily that. If you've got smaller children, there's some people that may need a little bit more than that. But on average, 1,500 calories per person is a good day. It's a good way, man, words, a good way to calculate it. So for one person for 3 days, that would be 4,500 calories. Or for a family of four, that's 18,000 calories. Okay, if we go out to 2 weeks, that's 21,000 calories for one person or 84,000 calories for a family of four. So where are you going to get food that you can have that's going to be one shelf stable, that's also easy to make, that requires minimal or no cooking at all? What are your options going to be? So first things that most people think of are MREs or freeze-dried foods, those types of things, camping meals. And they're good options. They're great options. They're not cheap. And I definitely don't think I'd want to eat MREs every single day. But it is an option and it will last a long time. A lot of those freeze-dried foods and MREs and stuff will last 20 plus years. I mean, that's pretty significant. And it's definitely good to have some of those in your cabinets, right? I've got quite a bit of it freeze-dried. And, you know, that's one thing we're looking to add to our preps here this year is a freeze dryer so we can freeze dry our own foods. It's not going to be a cheap addition, but it is something that you can do. So that is one option. Now, if I was just starting out, I would not go that route. I would not. I would go with canned foods. Canned foods would probably be the first thing that I would do. Canned foods and stuff like pasta, stuff like that. Why? Okay, so here's the thing. When you're starting in preparedness and it's overwhelming to you, there's a way that you can kind of do it to make it so it's not super overwhelming. And I'm going to tell you that trick here now. So every time you go to the grocery store, what I want you to do, I want you to set aside a certain number of dollars to go towards buying additional food just to set back and have extra of. Okay. So let's say you want to set aside $10 every time you go to the grocery store. I don't know about you guys, but I go to the grocery store usually once or twice a week. So that ends up being $10 to $20 a week. Okay. What I want you to do is use that just to add a little bit of canned food. So say today you order groceries, add 10 cans of corn or another vegetable or canned meat, spaghetti sauce. I mean, there's a lot of different things that you could do, but I would go that route. Okay. Now, when you get those items home, the first thing that I would do is I would take a permanent marker, and on the top of those cans, I would write the date that you bought them. And it's important. That is important. Here's why. When you go to look for the oldest food first, trying to find them on some of the labels of the cans is super difficult. I don't know if you've ever had to do that before, but it is very difficult to find it. If you just take a Sharpie, write it on the top of it, guess what? You can do it in one glance. Have it done real quick, so that way you can cycle out the old stuff as your collection grows and your preps grow. Because it'll grow fast if you do this, I'm telling you. This is how I put back over 3 months worth of food in, it was about 2 months, I think, of grocery shopping when I was first getting started. So it's very easy. It doesn't take much effort. Anybody can do it. But that's how I would go about it. Now, another type of food that you could put back is dehydrated foods. Dehydrated foods will last a long time. Now, you could also dehydrate the foods yourself. Dehydrators are very cheap. You can hop on Amazon, get them for very cheap. That is another option. Now, one thing I will say, while you are getting your food and preparing to your food and all that, make sure you do keep into consideration any allergies that anybody in your family may have. That is super important. In an emergency situation, getting Epi may not be real easy. So that is definitely something you want to think about. Also, if you've got kids, how picky are they? Okay. Think about the things that they like before you buy them. Think about the stuff that you know they'll eat. So that way that is not something you're having to worry about. So just something to keep in mind. And it's real easy to not think about that at the time. Now, moving on from food, what's the next thing I would start worrying about? I would start thinking about your medical preps. Your medical preps, okay? So when there's an emergency situation, there's a good chance that emergency personnel will be super busy. So who's going to be able to help you in those situations? You won't be able to just call an ambulance. They're not going to be able to get to you. And if they do, they won't be able to quickly. So the first thing I would recommend when it comes to medical is get training. Get some training. Start off getting CPR certification. You can do that in a weekend or a day, usually. Then if you want even more, go on and get your EMR. Your EMR will get you set up for a lot of the basics with first aid and what to look for in those types of situations. And I would even take it a step further. Go get your EMT. Okay. That's going to be a little bit longer of a process, and it takes quite a bit of work, but it's worth it. You learn a whole lot and will be capable of a whole lot and be able to handle a lot of emergency situations on your own. Now, obviously not all of them. There's some things that you just will not be able to have the training for, and you'll just have to be able to do the best that you can. But that would at least give you a decent base to start with. Okay. Now, after the training, the next piece of the medical thing that I would worry about is medications. Okay. Do you take any prescription medications for you or anybody in your family? That is something you need to make sure you think about. I would try to get extras of your medications if at all possible. Now, I know that's not always an easy thing to do. However, with the mail order prescriptions these days and all that, that's not impossible. So I would try to do that and see if there's any way that you could figure that out. I would get Tylenol. We get Advil, Benadryl. Now, these don't all have to be the name brand, right? You could get just any generic, ibuprofen. But having stuff like that would be super important to have if you needed it. hydrocortisone cream, calamine lotion, lidocaine cream, honey. Honey, I don't know if you know that or not, but there's honey is good for a lot of stuff. Okay. I mean, it is a good, there's a lot to honey. That could be a whole episode on its own. Aloe vera gel, Mucinex, saline eye wash. Okay. If you get something in your eye and you can't get to a doctor and it's not coming out, man, flushing that out will be super important, and having that could save your vision. Also, one a lot of people don't think about is like Pedialyte or electrolyte sources of some sort. If you get sick, let's say you drink some bad water and you've got diarrhea for 4 days, you think you're going to be a little dehydrated? I mean, that's super important, especially if you can't get to a hospital or emergency personnel can't get to you, okay? So after the medications, I would look into the trauma, wound care. Now, one thing I will say, I will recommend this 100%. They sell prepackaged EMT bags that come with majority of anything you would ever need for a trauma wound care situation. Gloves, gauze, tape, gauze pads, shears, Vaseline, isopropyl alcohol, prep pads, BVM. All that usually comes in these cases. And you don't have to try to source them out one by one. Everything's right there in one bag in one place. And you know exactly where it's at already. I would start with that. If you're starting from scratch, start with that. Even if you're not starting from scratch, having that one bag that you know all your medical stuff's located in, super important, okay? And along with the lines with that, it comes with a lot of the bone and joint related type things, right? So you're going to get your Coban rolls, Cravath, ACE wrap or elastic bandage of some sort, SAM splints, instant cold packs, heat packs. Those are typically in those as well. So definitely check those out. A few other items I would make sure I keep on hand: thermometer. Most of us already have those. A stethoscope and a blood pressure cuff. Learn to take a blood pressure. You can tell a lot about somebody when they're sick from their blood pressure. Okay. If you're diabetic, do you have your blood glucose monitor and strips and extras of all of them? I would make sure you have those. A pulse ox or a pulse oximeter. You can tell a lot from that. O2 saturation and pulse will tell you quite a bit. Having moleskin, okay? Moleskin could be super huge. And then also, if you have women in your house, feminine hygiene products. How important would that be, right? I know me as a guy, it's not something I would normally think of, and I'm sure you other fellas probably don't think of it either, but it's definitely something super important to have. And a lot of them have multiple other uses that you could use them for, okay? So definitely keep those things in mind. Now, after medical, the next thing I would worry about is shelter, okay? I say that, and shelter is important. However, I'm going to bug in. I am not one that's going to bug out unless I absolutely have to, and I don't think most of us would or should. And long story short, all of your preps are going to be at your house. Why would you want to leave them? Right. So unless there's something that forces you out of your house and it's either life or death to stay or leave, I would not leave. Stay in your house. Bug in. Okay. Have a tarp in your bug out bag just in case. I've not even gotten into a bug out bag yet. But that's something you could keep in a bug out bag if you need to have shelter for that type of situation. But I would bug in. Along with that, I would have some sort of power supply, okay? Whether that be just little backup batteries or solar generators or gas generators, have some form of collecting and keeping power to power your devices or keeping a few lights on. Have a way to produce heat in the house. Okay. I've got one of the little Mr. Heater buddies, I think is what they're called. Little propane heater, indoor, outdoor. They work great. They use a lot of propane. I will make sure I let you know that. So I would definitely get the adapter and a 20-gallon tank or two and hold those back as well. But they come in super clutch when it's cold out and you need heat. Okay. What about protection, security? Okay. Do you have a way to protect yourself and make sure your property's secure? Do you have cameras? Do you have motion sensors, security lights? Have you reinforced your door to make sure that somebody can't just come kick it in? Do you have a bolt lock? Do you actually lock your doors? Okay. We could go into freedom seeds and making sure you've got those. I know some states are easier than others to have them, but, you know, having some of them is definitely a smart thing to do. Okay. You never know, but make sure you're trained in those as well. Don't just have them sitting around and never practice with them, never use them. Okay. You have to actually use these things. So that way, you know, how do they work whenever you do need to use them? You need to be prepared to utilize every tool you have. Make sure you have trained. Have I said training enough for you yet? But that and then being prepared for, like I said, having the heater for other weather situations. But you got to also think, too, depending on where you are, it may get really hot. Are you prepared for that? Okay. Are you prepared for that? Another piece that I want you to think about after shelter, communication. Okay. How are you going to communicate with your loved ones in a situation where there is no cell phone network? Now, I had to prepare for this here this last weekend myself pretty significantly because we had the eclipse here this weekend, right? And the county was telling us that there was going to be enough people here in the county that would knock out cell service if anything were to happen and anybody got a big group on their phones because there's going to be so many people. So you just never know, right? Be prepared for communicating with your loved ones. How are you going to communicate if you're not home and your spouse is, or vice versa? Okay. So a couple options there for that. What I'm really thinking of in for a 3-day to 2-week type situation is very basic type items, right? So radio, just a regular AM FM radio with a crank or battery or solar power, something like that. Or just like your basic 2-way radios that you can go to Walmart and get to have a quarter mile to a mile type range, depending on what you've got. And if you really want to, you could get ham radios. The Baofeng radios they're all right. They work. They're cheap. But you do need a ham radio license to operate those. Now, if an SHTF type situation, I don't know how much that would matter. But you want to be able to operate them. So I definitely recommend taking some classes and getting some training. I said that word a lot today. Training. So those are the big items that I had for you guys today. There's some things I want you to think about, though, outside of that. I want you to think about where are some common places you might be when something were to happen, okay? You're not always going to be at home when anything could happen, right? So that's something I want you to keep in mind. Where are some common places you may be? How far would you have to work to get home? Is it a mile? Is it 10 miles? Is it 50 miles? 100? Cross country? Do you have any alternate routes to get home in case there's roadblocks or closures? Do you have a bag of stuff to make sure you can get home, a get home bag? Do you have any cash on hand in case the ATMs are down and you have to buy gas? Do you have an emergency supply of water in your car in case you get stuck in the snow or ice? Or you do have to walk home? Do you have emergency food in your car? Do you think you can walk home? Is that possible for you? And if so, how long will it take you? So these are important things to think about. And then add in communicating with the loved ones there. I mean, those are all huge things, huh? And something you need to think about, right? Something you need to plan for. Plan. So crazy how much planning and training can take care of in those types of situations. So that's all I had for you folks here this evening. Very brief, quick overview of some basic items. And I'm going to start breaking these down a little bit further each episode here. We're going to break down some of these items a little bit further and kind of go into them a little more in depth. I don't want you to be intimidated by this stuff. I want you to be prepared because I want you to be able to survive no matter what happens, no matter what emergency comes through. I want you to be ready for it. I want you to be able to not have to stress over any of this stuff. So with that, I appreciate you folks listening in here this evening, and we'll see you on the next episode of Modern Preparedness.